Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Sunday service here at the Free Community Church. Today, we are celebrating the fourth Sunday of Advent, and I have just lit the fourth candle in the Advent candles. Thank you all for joining us this morning for a time of worship. Let's prepare our hearts as we respond to the call to worship together. Eternal God of hope,
we come into your presence this morning with confidence that you will meet us here.
Where there is sadness, bring joy.
Where there is tightness, bring refreshment.
Where there is despair, bring a renewed sense of hope.
Let this place be a sanctuary, a safe haven for us.
A home for holy words and songs and prayers.
As we devote ourselves to you. Amen.
Amen.
Would you join your hearts with me and the worship team in a time of worship with music this morning?
Everyone alive.
Let us pray together during this corporate segment of the service. Let us pray. God, we give thanks to you for bringing us safely through this year of the COVID-19 pandemic. We give thanks to you for being able to gather here and to still be able to participate in worship. As we look forward to Christmas and the end of the year, we continue to lift up those who are in need of you. We lift up the low-income workers whose livelihoods got affected during this period of time under tremendous financial stress. We lift up those mothers whose children got to stay at home for home-based learning. For we know it is difficult to coordinate with enough resources and just the energy to keep up with the children at home throughout this period of time. We lift up those foreign workers among us that have to be kept to their dorms and not allowed to go out even on their days of rest. That this may cause emotional stress among them. We lift up the foreigners among us that are unable to go home to be with their loved ones and their family during this time and for such a long period of time. God, at the end of the year, we usually reflect on the year that has passed. And for some of us, this year has been kind. And for some of us, this year has been cruel. But as we reflect, may we learn not to dwell in the past. And also not to put our focus on the hope of the future. But in this moment, at this time, to sink into your presence, to be here with you, to know that you are with us and that you love us. And as we continue this service, God, may you continue to remind us of your love for us. And may we continue to experience your love, and that your love will be able to shine through us. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.
You called me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, an ocean's deep, my faith will stand. Abounds in deepest waters.
Worship was something that was meaningful for us as we enter into this fourth Sunday of Advent. We'd like to engage in this sermon today. As you know, we've been using a Mentimeter as a way for you to engage in the questions that we have. And the code is right there, 8784407. So if you go into menti.com, right, just type in the code 878407. 8784407. Sorry for misleading you. Okay, and you just type it in there, and then you can kind of engage in the questions that we are going to have later on. And your input's important because the sermon is actually made out of a combination, right, of what I hope to offer you and what you offer all of us together, so it makes it richer. So please, all right, join us in this time. So today is the last Sunday of Advent as we approach Christmas in 5 days. And the lectionary reading this year, very interestingly, focuses its emphasis on Mary, the mother of Jesus. Well, Mary is one of those important characters, right, in the whole Christmas story. And what can we actually learn from Mary? But first I want to ask you, right, which of the four Gospels speak of Mary's experience? Okay, let me, oops. Okay. Which of the four Gospels speak of Mary's experience regarding the birth of Jesus? Okay? Do all the Gospels speak of it? Or is it Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John? All right, so just take your pick. No need to flip your Bibles, just go by your memory, see if you remember. All right, what was your impression? Is it Matthew or Mark or Luke or John who talked about Mary? Actually, only one of the four, so choose properly, yeah? Okay, I see a few in Matthew, a few in Mark, a little bit more in John, quite a lot in Luke, okay, very good. Let's give you some time to think about it. What do you remember of the Nativity story? Okay. Great, wonderful. Okay, a little bit more. Come, all right. Great, wonderful. Oh, Matthew, Mark. It's not a very close race, lah. It's a close race between Matthew, Mark, and John. But the most answers go to Luke. And I'm very proud of all of you because it does appear in Luke. All right, and even for those of you who got it wrong, I'm still proud of you. Thank you for trying, you know, because I wish we would know our Bible better, right? You know, even sometimes for me, you know, if you ask me offhand, I'll be like, wait, let me think about it, right? And you know, this is just a way for us to kind of really know our Gospels, especially during this Christmas season, especially when we think about the story of Jesus and God coming to us, Emmanuel. So important, right, for us to just kind of take this time to just reflect on this wonderful story of God coming to us. And so, yes, it's in Luke. You know, in the Protestant church, Mary as a biblical character has often been quite muted, right? And reduced to her biological role, just as the person who gave birth to Jesus, right? However, I think reducing her to just her biological role actually misses out on something very, very important. Mary is a fascinating example of a disciple and a person of faith. And as we approach Christmas, it is this Mary who can actually help us prepare spiritually for the coming of her son. So where do we go to find this Mary? As we said earlier, not to Mark, who never mentions her. In fact, Mark doesn't even talk about the nativity story. Not to Matthew, who focuses the story on Joseph, right? And you can go read that part of the story too. And not to John, who tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, but he doesn't elaborate on the details, right? It is the Gospel of Luke that portrays the fullness of Mary's humanity as an example of faith for us. Luke allows us to come up close to Mary as a human being, to her humanity, and to help us to really identify her worries and her struggles, and invites us to participate with her in giving birth to, in raising, in mourning, and eventually into following Jesus. Luke challenges us and kind of shakes us up in the way that we've been taught to think of her, and invites us to stop observing her just as a character in a nativity story, and perhaps start learning something from her. So I want to go into the passage in Luke and to just read it for you. And this comes from the Inclusive Bible. And I really like this version, something that you can also go find online, although we had to buy it. But it is a wonderful version. So let me read to you. 6 months later, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a young woman named Mary, and she was engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. Upon arriving, the angel said to Mary, "Rejoice, highly favored one. God is with you. Blessed are you among women." Mary was deeply troubled by these words and wondered what the angel's greeting meant. The angel went on to say to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and bear a son, and give him the name Jesus, deliverance. His dignity will be great, and he will be called the only begotten of God. And God will give Jesus the judgment seat of David, his ancestor, to rule over the house of Jacob forever, and his reign will never end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have never been with a man?" The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Hence the offspring to be born will be called the Holy One of God. Know too that Elizabeth, your kinswoman, has conceived a child in her old age. She who was thought to be infertile is now in her sixth month. Nothing is impossible with God." And Mary said, "I am the servant of God. Let it be done to me as you say." And with that, the angel left her. So the angel comes to Mary, right? In the middle of the night, out of nowhere. Well, I imagine it's in the middle of the night. And said, "Rejoice, highly favored one. God is with you. Blessed are you among women." And what's Mary's first response? Is it joy? Like, "Oh, the angel came to visit me and I'm highly favored there." Did she run to her neighbor's house? "Hey, excuse me, the angel told me I'm blessed, you know." Was it pleasant surprise? Was it happiness? No. We are told that Mary was deeply troubled by these words and wondered what the angel's greeting meant. In fact, the angel had to reassure her and said, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." So Mary was deeply troubled by the angel's words at first, right? And that was her first response. So I want to ask you, right? What would your first instinctual response be if an angel appeared to you out of nowhere, okay, and told you you're highly favored? What would your first instinctual response be? Right? Just kind of put yourself in her shoes a little bit, lah. Even in this modern day, right? Imagine if out of nowhere, right, an angel appeared and said, "Blessed are you, you're highly favored." Okay? What's your response? Okay, surprise, very good. Bewildered, stunned, definitely, right? Shocked, believe, is it a ghost? Right? Am I still alive? You know, have I entered like some supernatural realm or heaven? Skeptical, yes, disbelief, right? I mean, like, are you sure you're an angel or what are you, You know? How to know, Yeah. Like, wow, you know, some people are like, "Oh, sama?" Which is like, what? In Chinese, right? It's true, right? Because there's just all these elements, right, of shock and surprise, of fear, right? Some of you say afraid, right? Because you don't know what this is and what's this about. Suspicious, disbelief. Thank you. So, yes, you know, we see a lot of the word shocked, surprised, bewildered, right? A lot of that. Because we have a lot of disbelief, right? Shock and maybe even fear, perhaps. You know, if an angel suddenly appeared out of nowhere and told you, "Hey, you're highly favored," right? And we may wonder, what does this entail? What does this mean? I mean, like, why are you appearing to me? You know, there must be something more in this, right? And so all through Scripture, whenever God appears, or an angelic representative of God appears, the first reaction of those who experience the encounter is usually fear. Okay, so you're not alone, right? Shock, surprise, fear, bewilderment. And the first words typically spoken by God or the angel are, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." God knows us, right? Being human, first thing you'd be like, what's happening? Do not be afraid. Mary's response to the angel's first words, I think, helps us relate to her as a human being. She's not like some like special, you know, superhero, right? She responds in a deeply troubled way, you know, because she was worried, she was fearful, she was shocked. She's just like you and me. And there was probably a lot going through her mind, right? Me? Who am I? I mean, why am I favored? And how can the Lord be with me? She knows her place, She knows she's just a simple peasant girl. And this should not be happening to someone like her. I mean, why me? And perhaps we would be thinking the same way too. Maybe it's because we have a common tendency to project our own fears onto God. It's hard for us to imagine that God would actually like us, let alone love us. Just as we are, love us with all our flaws and our blemishes, and on top of that, to highly favor us and want to be with us. How can this be? We see in this encounter that it is God who seeks Mary first and not the other way around. Before Mary ever said anything, the angel came to her and said, "You are blessed, you are highly favored, and you are loved. The favor of God is upon you and the Lord is with you." And you know, that can be said of every one of us here and online. You are blessed, you are highly favored, you are loved. God is with you. And this is how God comes to each of us. God offers God's self to us even before we invite God into our lives. And if you look back into your life, I think you would realize that, right? That God actually comes to us first. And our part is to be open and receptive, to welcome the grace that God bestows. But even so, it takes time, right? It takes time for us to process before we are able to become open and receptive to what God is offering us, even now in our lives. You see, for Mary, we can sense her processing through a lot of emotions, but she does eventually respond with a prayer of indifference. And I just want to look a little bit at this word indifference, okay? I mean, what comes to your mind when you say indifference? I mean, when you thought, like, Mary's prayer of indifference, she very indifferent, meh? She quite involved, on there. Are you sure or not? What are you talking about, right? See, people think of indifference as apathy, disengaged, not caring. But in the language of spiritual formation and spiritual discernment, indifference can be actually a very positive term, one that is rich with spiritual significance. It means I am indifferent to everything but the will of God. And that's what I mean here when I say Mary's prayer of indifference. I'm indifferent to everything but the will of God. Ruth Haley Barton said this: we also need to pray for indifference. This is not the kind of indifference that we associate with apathy. Rather, it is a prayer that we would be indifferent to everything but the will of God. Indifference in the discernment process means that I'm indifferent to matters of ego, prestige, organizational politics, personal advantage, personal comfort or favor, or even my own pet project. As Danny Morris and Charles Olson put it, God's will, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. You know, Ruth Haley Barton, I mean, she's a great spiritual writer and leader. And, you know, but she was not the first person to coin this term, the prayer of indifference. It actually has its historical roots in Ignatian spirituality. So many, many years ago, growing in relationship with God and sharing God's redemptive work requires internal freedom, freedom inside. And this is what Ignatius, Saint Ignatius, called indifference. Indifference means being detached enough from things, from people, or experiences to be able to either take them up or leave them aside and let them go, depending on whether they help us to praise, reverence, and serve God. So in other words, it is the ability the capacity to let go of what doesn't help me to love God and to love others while staying engaged with what does. And this is not always easy, right? Being human is not always doing this is not easy. Ignatius said that we are often put off course by our attachment to wealth, to health, to long life, to status. And these can often become obstacles for us. The prayer of indifference expresses the fact that we have come to a place where we want God's will in my life. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. It means we want God's will more than our own personal comfort or safety, more than ego gratification, or wanting to look good in the eyes of others, more than our own pleasure or preference, more than whatever it is that we think we want. It is a state of wide openness to God, in which we are free from undue attachments and we have the capacity to let go of, to relinquish whatever might keep us from choosing for God and for love in the world. It is actually a prayer in which we abandon ourselves to God. To abandon ourselves to God. You know, last week, Jamie spoke about praying without ceasing. And so this week, I wanted to look at Mary and how she models the prayer of indifference. Mary said, "Here am I am the servant of God. Let it be done to me as you say." Can you feel the depth of her indifference in the face of a very challenging situation? She was going to accept what God was going to do, even though it was going to be incredibly inconvenient, to say the least. It was going to ruin her life, being an unwed pregnant mother. It would make her an outcast in her community, even more so in her time. And there's no way anyone around her was going to be able to understand or see the will of God in her life. I mean, how can this be God's will, this like unwed pregnancy thing? At least in the short term, no one else would understand. And she would be alone. And yet, she's still so willing to go where God is going, to be a part of God's plan in whatever way God asks her to be. I think if there's anybody in Scripture that embodies discernment and the ability to hear and discern the will of God, and then to follow through and do it, to be indifferent to anything but the will of God, I think it would be Mary. And for that reason alone, she truly deserves our respect. You know, Protestants are sometimes a bit uncomfortable when we focus too much on Mary, but Mary definitely deserves our respect. And we see that she goes through a process, right? I'm not sure if you can sense it, even though, you know, it's only a few verses. At first, we hear that she's deeply troubled. And then the angel is telling her, okay, please, don't be afraid, and reassures her. And so she must have been feeling some fear as well. And then you see her wrestling with the sense of impossibility. And the angel assures her, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. So she was wrestling with impossibility just like many of us do at various points in our lives. And then she finally comes to this place of utter openness and abandonment to God. We see how she moves through her emotions to the place of being open and willing. And I think it shows us that there is a process. We don't just jump into it overnight and say, God, I am indifferent to anything but your will. It's actually something that requires a process for us. In this case, Mary has an angel to kind of help her. And in our case, we have the Holy Spirit to accompany us on this journey towards indifference to anything but God's will. Mary's response to the angel's announcement about what would take place in her life was a true prayer of indifference, in that she expressed a profound readiness to set aside her personal concerns in order to participate in the will of God as it unfolded in history. And that's the same for us. Do we have this same readiness to set aside our personal concerns to participate in God's will as it unfolds in history? Mary was more than just an available womb. It was more than a biological thing. She was a person willing to receive Christ into the very depths of her being, allowing Christ's presence to incubate there in the darkness until the fullness of time, when God's will would be completely revealed. It was this indifference to anything but the will of God that prepared her to participate so fully in God's plan for the redemption of humankind. She said yes to God with this amazing courage to the coming of Christ into her body, into her life. And so I want to ask you, how open are you to praying the prayer of indifference in your life? How open are you at this point of time to say, I want to be indifferent to everything, to anything but the will of God in my life? And I put a scale there because some of us may be at kind of like a lower space, right? And say, I think I'm still struggling with this. Yeah, it's a hard thing to do. Some of us may be very open and say, yes, you know, I'm very ready. God, do your will in it through me. Right? That's interesting. Wow, okay. We have quite a lot of people moving towards almost very open, so quite open, right? That's quite amazing. Thank you for putting that, and continue to put your response in that scale, and we'll see the overall result later. You know, when we open ourselves up, we're actually doing the same thing as what Jesus did, not just Mary. Remember Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane? When he prayed, not my will, but yours be done. That was also a prayer of indifference. It's saying, God, I lay aside my will. Yours be done. His prayer reminds us of and reflects his own mother's commitment. If you think about it, right, you connect it. Perhaps something he learned from his mom. And Mary models it for us all. You know, far too often, we are praying the prayer of difference. At least for me. At least I do. I say, God, use me to make a difference. Have you prayed that before? Right? God, help me to lead these people, to speak to them and to their hearts. Help me to build this church. Help me to make a difference. So it was a huge paradigm shift for me spiritually when I read about the prayer of indifference and what it means to be indifferent to everything but the will of God. Indifferent to everything but the love of God. It kind of really helped me to focus and have a renewed perspective about myself and God. How much better would our lives function, our relationships, our churches function, if as leaders and the people of God, we said, I'm more concerned about my character, about pursuing God's will, than my own giftedness, and what I can offer God. I am committed to God's will, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. I hope to have the courage to continue to pray the prayer of indifference. You see, indifference is not something that we can achieve. I should have showed you that earlier on. Indifference is not something we can achieve for ourselves. It is a gift of grace. It is a gift of grace from God. Only God alone can accomplish it within us as we learn how to open ourselves to it. We can't will it on our own. God has to work in us as we open our hearts and souls. I think it often starts with a longing, and perhaps it's something that you feel sometimes, a longing to be made free. An interior freedom to follow God wholeheartedly. And this inner shift can only be accomplished by God when we make ourselves open. And it takes time. It takes honesty. So we don't rush it. We just open and allow God to work in our lives. You see, we need to know that God loves and cares for us, and we can trust wholly in God's plan. The prayer of indifference can be a very challenging prayer to pray, actually, because most times we are afraid that we won't be able to get what we want. So that can be a barrier to even opening ourselves up. We need to internalize the message that God wants good for us, that God's will for us is the best thing for us at any one time. And if we find ourselves struggling, we can start by asking God to help us. Like, God, please help me. I know I have my preferences and a lot of attachment to outcomes and my own interests, and I find it hard to be indifferent to anything but your will. I want to be indifferent. Will you help me to be more indifferent to anything but you and your loving plan? And as the angel in Mary's story said, with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Maturity in our spiritual journey means the longer we grow with God in this love relationship, the more we're able to trust. This is like any other relationship, right? The more we grow in a relationship, the more we're able to trust with peace that God's plans for us are good. And it takes time. And often a death to self is required before we can see God's will taking shape in our lives. We see this death to self in Mary's life as well. In fulfilling her prophetic call to be Jesus' mother, I imagine how her heart ached when he showed signs of being in a very dangerous vocation, right? Especially when she saw him on the road to the cross. Can you imagine if you were her, watching your own son on the road to the cross? Her heart must have been filled with fear and dread for him. And witnessing his death on the cross must have felt like death to her. I think for a mother, perhaps it's even worse than death. Her prayer of indifference lasted Mary throughout her life. In the midst of all that struggle and suffering, she grows into the second portion of her prophetic call, to not just be his mother, but a disciple of her son. John tells us that she was there at the cross, risking her life along with the other women. So let me ask you, and this is kind of a open question, but also a difficult one. What needs to die in me in order for the will of God to come forth in and among us? What needs to die in me? Is it my own pride? My own ego? Is it my own self-interest? What is it that needs to die for the will of God to come forth in and among us? Yeah, pride, a fear of lack. Yeah, that is true. Because we are always worried, right, that we're not going to have enough, that God is not going to provide. And so it's a very real fear. Our stubbornness, yes, we are all very stubborn. I am very stubborn. Right? Disbelief, our self-centeredness, the people we hold on to, wow, that is so true, right? Because imagine if we had to let that go. Sometimes we kind of want to hold on even to the people that we know may not be very good for us, right? But we kind of still hold on. A sense of self-control, our personal wants, our insecurity, our ego, our self-achievement, certainty, yes. Right? Sometimes when we feel like we're in control, we feel more certain, right? We feel more, okay, I've got this, right? To say I have to let that go and allow God's will to take its place, that's tough. Our self-interest, approval of people, yeah. My attachment to things, absolutely, all of us are attached in our own way. Not just material things, we're attached to so many other things. We're attached to our status, how people see us. We're attached to, you know, wanting to make a difference the way that the world can appreciate, right? in the world that in a way that the world can affirm, right? A fear of vulnerability, yes. Dishonesty in my own desires, yes. Thank you for being so honest. It is a very vulnerable thing. It is such a vulnerable thing to say, God, not my will, but yours be done. It is such a vulnerable thing to say, God, I want to be indifferent to anything but your will in my life. It's hard, you know, and all these things that y'all put there is hard. And it's what I identify with, it's what many of us identify with. You know, so thank you for your honesty of sharing that. And continue to share. And we will consolidate some of these responses and put it in a way that others can see it too. As we think about this question, I want to tell you this. You know, like Mary, we are meant to give birth to Christ. What does that mean? I don't mean this in a biological way, of course. But like Mary, we are meant to give birth to Christ even now, in this time, in this age. You see, Christmas is an invitation for us to say yes to being impregnated by the Spirit and not abort the process, so that the Christ within us all can be born. Mary's story stirs up something within us. What's happening in the depths of our soul when we hear her story? Surely it must be more than the miracle of the virgin birth. As Benedictine author and poet Kathleen Norris shares, Mary's virginity has less to do with biology than with her stance towards God and life. And the first time I read that, I thought, wow, that is so true and so insightful. Thomas Merton helps us understand and gives us a more relevant take on what it means to be virgin. He describes the true identity that he seeks in contemplative prayer for himself as a virgin point. At the center of his being, a point untouched by sin and by illusion, a point of true, pure truth which belongs entirely to God. A virgin point. Mary says, "Here am I." She moves forward and makes a commitment without knowing much about what was actually going to happen, right? What it will entail, where it will lead. And this story is precious because it forces us to ask, when the mystery of God's love breaks through into my consciousness, into my life, do I actually run away from it? When God appears to me in my life and says, I love you, you are highly favored, you are blessed, do we actually run away? Or am I virgin enough in the center of my being to respond from my deepest, truest self and say a yes that will change us forever? Richard Rohr says this. He says, as a man who has taken a vow of celibacy, I will never know what it's like to physically give birth, nor have I ever held the hand of a woman I love in labor. However, I've experienced the birth of Christ in the world many times throughout my life, in big ways and small, sometimes through grand gestures, and more often through simple acts of patience, love, mercy, to incarnate the Christ. And that's what we mean by giving birth to Christ. To incarnate the Christ is to live out the gospel with our lives as faithfully and fearlessly as a woman in labor who holds nothing back in order to bring new life into the world. And that is God's invitation for us today. As we move into this week of Christmas, as we move into the 25th, when we celebrate Christmas, this is God's invitation for us. Are you willing, just like a woman in labor, to hold nothing back in order to bring new life into the world? Are you willing to lay it all down and say, God, I want nothing else. I want to be indifferent to everything but your will in my life. And I pray that that may be so. I just want to close with a short time of prayer and reflection together with you. And so allow me to guide you in this time of reflection. As you can close your eyes if you like. Let's go into this time of quietness. Think about a place in your life where you feel like you're less than ready, or maybe even resistant to giving yourself over to God. In a particular place of maybe decision making, or in a specific area of your life. A place where you know you're hanging on to something or to someone. Some sort of outcome, some sort of benefit to yourself, or some sort of ego gratification. Yet underneath that, you also sense you have a desire for indifference to anything but the will of God. What is this thing you're holding on to that is hard for you to let go? Will you just, in this moment, be open to what God might have for you instead? Tell God your honest struggles with it and see if you're able to gently let go and open yourself up to what God might have in store for you. Perhaps this is God's gift for you this Christmas. Amen.
Good morning, Church. We come together now to participate and share in essence the Lord's Supper, a meal instituted by our Lord Jesus Christ on the night he was betrayed. For our siblings worshipping with us online at home, do take this time to prepare for yourselves the elements of communion, the bread which symbolizes Christ's body, and the fruit of the vine which symbolizes his blood. And while we wait a moment, I'm reminded of a delicious dinner recently shared with siblings, lovingly prepared by our Pastor Miak. And we watched a short video about how we humans connect with one another over food, and in particular, a poignant food for thought. Our meal companions are just as important, if not more important, than the mere morsels of food we partake. We gather each Sunday at this table, even though at this time we are not physically together. The table of God's feast transcends time and space because God's love transcends all boundaries. So this table recognizes no boundaries. Here at FCC, we celebrate an open table. This means you do not have to meet any criteria. You do not have to be a member of FCC. You do not have to be baptized. You only need to recognize that God's grace is sufficient. Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones. Ascribe to the God, glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of God's holiness.
It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. For you make me glad by your deeds, O Lord. I sing for joy at the works of your hands.
If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness.
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting.
You, Lord, are righteous in all your ways and loving towards all you have made. You, Lord, are near to all who call on you, to all who call on you in truth. This, then, is how we should pray.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted.
Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled.
Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God.
Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. I will ask that the stewards please come now and distribute the elements of communion. For those who are here present in life in this church, please hold on to the elements until we can partake of it together. The stewards will hand it to you for safety purposes. Do not reach out. Thank you. Is not this the kind of communion the Lord has chosen? To loosen the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them.
Then our light will break forth like the dawn, and our healing will quickly appear. Then our righteousness will go before us, and the glory of the Lord will be our rear guard. Then we will call, and the Lord will answer. We will cry for help, and the Lord will say, "Here am I."
Let us eat and drink of the bread and wine, remembering the gift of salvation and the call to give of ourselves to the needs of others. For those present in this congregation, please hold on to the empty vessel, and then there's a bin at the back of the church, and you can throw it there later. Please join me in the prayer of communion. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that we may declare the praises of God who called us out of darkness into God's wonderful light.
We will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. We will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love, reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth.
Amen.
Let's continue to worship God with our giving this morning. Christmas is a season for giving, and I just want to thank each and everyone for your generosity through the years in being able to give to this ministry so that we can be a blessing to others. There are two ways that you can join us and give this morning. The first is by PayNow. And you can see two QR codes on the screen there where you can either give to the FCC General Fund or the FCC Building Fund. Alternatively, we also allow giving by credit card. You can join us to give by credit card at this URL, freecomchurch.give.asia. Give.asia is a platform that helps charities fundraise for their work that they do. And so here you can place your offering for FCC as well as specify a donation to Give.asia if you want to support the work that they are doing. Before we collect the offering, would you join me in a word of prayer? Dear God, we thank you for this gathering that we can come here come together to worship you with our hearts, with our voices, and with the work that we can do through the finances that you have given us as we steward them towards your ministry. God, help us to know you as Lord, the God who goes before us, the God who is with us, and the God who calls us to be your hands and your feet. God, thank you for this season where you have given to us the greatest gift, and you are calling us likewise to put our trust in you and be able to steward the gifts that you have given us so that we can be a blessing to the others around us. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to give into your work in and through this ministry, and we thank you and we ask you to bless every person that gives today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So for those people who are here in One Commonwealth, we're going to invite the stewards to come forward to collect the offering. And if you would like to donate cash or check, you can just raise your hands and they will come round and you can put your money in. Either that, or we'll keep the slide up on the screen and you can use this opportunity to either give by PayNow or by credit card. Can I get the stewards to collect the offering? While the offering is being collected, I'm going to proceed to the announcement section for this morning. So first, I want to welcome each and every one of you to the Free Community Church. Whether you're joining us here in person or online, a very warm welcome home. One of the ways to stay connected with the Free Community Church is by leaving us your details. You can do so here at fcc.la/fccwelcome. This allows us to stay in contact with you and to keep you informed of all of the activities that we have got to get to know you and be able to serve you better. We also like to invite those people who are joining us new, either in person or online, to come for our next newcomers meeting that's going to be happening right after service on the first Sunday of January. And if you're interested in doing that, you can email info@freecomchurch.org. In this meeting, it'll be a short 30-minute meeting where we get a chance to meet you and you have a chance to be able to speak to us, whether physically or over one of the video conference chat software that we have. Christmas is happening in just 5 days' time on Friday. And this year, we are going to be celebrating how hope has come to us and that God's presence is with all of us. Unfortunately, this year, we are not able to host our usual annual Christmas service where we gather everyone together to sing carols together, to listen to the Christmas story and to have a meal together. We want to keep everybody safe. So instead, we're going to be gathering at homes. So if you are joining us, we encourage you to either join us at one of their satellite homes that we have assigned and designated for you to join us. Alternatively, you can also gather your own friends and families to join us online on Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Right on our YouTube channel or at fcc.la/fcclive. If you are joining us, if you are joining us on the 25th of December at one of the satellite homes, we will be sending you some goodies. So that's going to be a real treat for us to be able to celebrate together. We're also going to be sending you the communion elements. Now, if you are not joining us at one of the designated satellite homes and you are new to FCC, if you join us for the Sundays, for the Christmas service, even though we can't come together for a meal and you leave us your details, I promise you we will send you a Christmas treat. And we look forward to welcoming you to one of our services, either in person or online in the new year. Now, in the spirit of Christmas, the youth of our church have come up with this little Christmas quiz. And just to get us into the mood for Christmas, and you can go to this URL either right now or later on, fcc.la/xmasquiz, to take the quiz. Now, there are about 10 multiple choice questions there, and you get points for answering the questions correctly. The winner for the quiz and the one who has got the highest score will win a grand prize by the youth of Christmas bragging rights. So you'll be told, you know who has got the highest scores at the Christmas service. But I thought, you know, since Christmas is a time, you know, for giving, I thought I would one-up the youth. And I have a $35 Nespresso card here, which I will offer to the person who has got the highest score and that the youth tell me. But please be honest and do not Google or Wikipedia the answers. And otherwise, you know, it's just between you and God and this $35 Nespresso card if you're that desperate for it. All right, let's move on to the next announcement. During this time, if you are facing any difficulties or challenges, we would like to continue to offer our pastoral support. We have got two pastors here at FCC, and you can reach us at info@freecomchurch.org if you've got any needs that we can help to come alongside you and journey with you on. Every Wednesday, we also have a prayer meeting from 8 p.m. to 8:30 p.m., and this is the link to join us on Zoom at fcc.la/fccpraise. So please come and join us this Wednesday to pray together as a community. Finally, one of the best ways to be able to stay in touch with all of the things happening in church is through our FCC WhatsApp broadcast list. To join this list, you have to simply just WhatsApp your name to 9366-3818, and you'll get an automated message in reply. We encourage you to save that message, and thereafter, you'll be able to get information about the latest things that are happening at FCC. We also, as you can see, are now moving to a hybrid service, which means we want to serve people both here at FCC in One Commonwealth, and we want to serve people online. And one of the ways we do that is through the production ministry. So if you have an interest in videography, video editing, visual design, we do encourage you to join us by dropping us an email at info@freecomchurch.org. And finally, every Monday, the team, the production team, the pastors all gather together to do a review of the service to see how we can serve everyone better, both on-site and online. So if you'd like to leave us some feedback, the way you can do so is at fcc.la/fccliveFeedback. We'd love to hear from you. At this point in time, I'm going to invite Myak to come forward to share with us the benediction.
I am not going to win the $35 Nespresso card because I got only 700 out of 1,200 points. So you all got chance. And it's okay not to have full marks. Even the pastor didn't get full marks. May I invite those who are present to stand as you're willing and able and to receive the benediction. God calls you blessed. And you are beloved. So may you learn to empty of yourself. Empty yourself of your fears, your insecurities, so that Christ can incarnate in you too, to bless and transform the world, to be the hands and feet that do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly. So people, in this Christmas season, may Christ be in you, may Christ grow in you, and may you be more and more Christ-like as you journey into the new year. Go in love always with the blessing of God, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Myak. And thank you, everyone, for joining us for our Sunday service, whether here in person or online. Look forward to seeing you all at Christmas and have a very blessed week ahead. For those who are